This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
The local arm of British American Tobacco, BAT, is looking to restructure the business, a process that may affect about 200 jobs after a further decline in its cigarette sales in the country. The tobacco manufacturer has long argued that a ban on the sale of cigarettes during South Africa's pandemic lockdown led to a boom in illegal sales. It believes that the illicit market now accounts for 70% of South Africa's total cigarette market. Can you believe that? That, of course. So you've got to understand the BAT as well. The British American Tobacco will, of course, issue some of these stats in favor of its own argument. And I'm not sure where these other numbers come from. It believes that the illicit market now accounts for 70% of South Africa's total cigarette market. If that number is true, then, of course, each and every single, you know, two-thirds almost of tobacco sold in this particular country, cigarettes sold in this particular country, is illegally sold, and tax on those particular, you know, tobacco items are not being collected. That's what they're saying. Crime expert, of course, Calvin Rafadi joins us to discuss the impact and sustainability of the legal tobacco industry in this particular country. Calvin Rafadi, welcome to Power Perspective as always. How are you, man?
Greetings, and compliments of the new season.
Ah, same to you, Calvin.
Yeah, how are
Calvin,
you?
Did you take a break?
No, I didn't. Actually, I was even at the studio. I thought you heard my voice the time when I was there. I didn't take a break.
Calvin, I took a break, Chief. I took a break. I took a break and I went on holiday, man. Absolutely. Well, also, you know what, Calvin? What happens is that the station normal programming closes. So it does. Calvin, are we to believe these kind of numbers, you know, from BATSA, from, you know, the British American Tobacco SA, and they're talking about, let's start with that figure, for example, 70% of South Africa's total cigarette market is from illicit, you know, cigarette sales. Is that something, you know, that we need to actually believe? That number is pretty high.
Yeah, I guess they've got their own way of calculating the stats, perhaps in combination to some of their revenue loss.
Mm.
And what they put in doesn't match with what comes in and put out.
Mm.
So, but what I can say, illicit cigarette is big in our country here in South Africa.
Mm.
And we can only speak about it and expose some of the modus operandi because there are big fishes involved in this illicit trade of cigarette, and it's a big market.
Mm.
And it has been there for quite a number of years.
Mm. You know, I was in Germany at some point when the Berlin Wall was coming down. And that was what, 1993, 1994, 95, at that particular point. And illicit cigarettes in Germany and being sold on pavements and where was a massive story in Germany at that particular moment. Already, I do remember, but in South Africa, not long. I think not as far back as that, I would imagine. But obviously, it's a trade because, you know, so many people do smoke in this particular country. But let's talk about where the money goes and where the money comes from. Where is it anticipated that the illicit Calvin, are you still with me?
Yes, I am.
Sure.
I am, yes.
Let's talk about where the illicit trade and the monies go to that we've been able to determine. Have we been able to determine, or is it just speculation that, you know, illicit trade in anything, you know, begins to start a conversation about crime syndicates and, you know, buying of weapons and or drugs and or all of these things? But sometimes we need the facts. How far are we from actually, you know, just pinpointing the facts to a particular number?
Well, there are a number of arrests and a number of investigations and intelligence gathering from your security and even your likes of military intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
They are sitting with most of the data, and even SARS customs themselves, they've got the data of this particular numbers.
Mm-hmm.
But what I can tell you, it's Most of the tobacco derives here in from your SADC region, but most of the northern, like your Zambia, Namibia, they've got much of this tobacco. And
is that the legal tobacco trade or the illicit tobacco trade?
Look, it's a combination, but we want to talk more about how they camouflage as if it's legal, bringing it into the country, but in fact, it's sold at the song because of it's now illegal trading with the very same particular cigarette. Because you get a lot of cigarettes that are imported in, or they are brought in into the country either from the by way of border, either they bribe at the border or they've got what we call a bonded certificate from SARS, meaning their trade of cigarette, once it comes into South Africa, it's for transit. It's not to be sold here in South Africa. Then you get your likes of, you know, those fuel tanks, the ones like the very same tanker that gave explosion at the prospect. There are a number of people now, they unpack the cigarette and stuff it into those type of components. Where you think this is it's a truck to deliver your diesel or your petrol, and in essence, no, it is the illicit cigarette. And then most of the guys now, because they bribe at the border to bring the cigarettes, and it's a big market, what they do, they even get escorted with the blue lights and your likes of some rotten police, and even most of the rotten, the reservist. Because they will be using the blue light so that this particular truck, they are not stopped along the way. But how the market goes, the further you go down, meaning if you come to Joburg, the price is not the same as you taking the risk of taking cigarettes as far as to Cape Town, as far as to Durban or Bloemfontein. So it varies with the prices of this particular cigarette. And
Calvin, who sells these cigarettes, Calvin? Because, you know, if I went to a formal trading institution, right, and I asked for, you know, a particular brand, you know, and they gave it to me, I'm assuming I'm getting the legitimate cigarette from that particular institution. Who is selling illicit cigarettes in this particular country if it's not going through then the formal institutions and shops and shopping malls and shopping outlets? Who is selling them? Because I generally don't see, you know, 70% of cigarette sales, you know, is a huge number to be mentioned, but you don't recognize that there is a particular outlet for it. So where are they being sold? Where is it landing to the extent where somebody can say 70% of cigarette sales is illicit and from, you know, from criminal activity? Who is selling them to such an extent that, you know, it's on such a scale?
Yeah, look, with the cigarettes, you get your warning signs on the package where it will guide you that this is not for sale in South Africa, or this is, you know, you get those which are approved to be sold around in the country. But most of their market, they'll send it into small shops like your spaza shops, or even most of the rural areas or your township.
So what we're actually saying is that some of these small spaza shops are complicit, because they know then obviously that they are buying, you know, cigarettes and cigarette brands at a seriously reduced price, and then they obviously would sell that at the proper prices within their stores. But obviously then there's an element of complicity.
Yes. And there are no inspectors to inspect that. Or even though there are inspectors to inspect that, you find a person with four or five cartoons just in the front counter, but the other rest of the cigarette is hidden somewhere else. So most of the spaza shops, they sell this particular cigarette. And also their big market in prison. Now, they smuggle this cigarette as far as inside prison, because there are a lot of smokers even in prison. And guess what? Even in prison, according to our research, we've seen that by having just a cartoon of a cigarette, you can have a lovely bed to sleep on, clean sheets, or even extra food. So the market goes as far as
So you're saying, Calvin, if Denzel Taylor ever went to prison, he needs to make sure he's got cigarettes?
I'm telling you, yes. You need to make sure you've got a carton of cigarettes. Then you can sleep on a bed and not just on the floor for a night or even few months. Mm. But the market is quite big. You know, to a point that most of the cars that are hijacked in South Africa or even stolen here in South Africa, some of the trades of in exchange of their trade of being taken across in the SADC region, they pay them with cigarettes. They will say, no, this Toyota, whatever, Fortuna is equivalent to X boxes, but we can only pay you with the cigarettes, and then you make a plan of taking them into South Africa and distributing them into the market. Mm. But here's the thing now, Denzel. You know, even in Cape Town, you find the underworld. They control this particular trade of cigarettes because of, remember in Cape Town, how it operates with the underworld. Mm. There are those who are controlling the town, your long street, the nightclubs there, even with cocaine, but also with illicit cigarettes. Then there are ones who are controlling Khayelitsha. They are the ones who are controlling Cape Flats. So there are a number of syndicates. They even fight for territory. That's why now sometimes you even find this particular syndicates with, heavy ammunition so that they can gather their territory. So it's a big, big, big business of what they are doing with this illicit cigarette.
Calvin, explain this to me, and maybe the listener also needs to understand this. You know, in COVID, I became aware of fake cigarettes. And so this is a different conversation between, you know, illicit cigarettes coming through the normal, you know, value chain and whatever. Fake cigarettes. Are we ultimately talking about cigarettes that look and almost feel the same as the proper brand would be, but they are not? These are cigarettes generated in factories and warehouses other than where the real cigarettes need to be, you know, manufactured. And these then find their way into the system. Are we talking about, you know, a fake brand of Marlboro Blue Ice, for example? A fake brand of Marlboro Blue Ice, it's more or less going to taste the same, but the box is going to look exactly the same, and it's going to land up on the shelves, and that's it. So we're talking about, when we talk about illicit, we're not talking about, you know, genuine cigarettes that are coming from, you know, like, for example, British American Tobacco, the largest tobacco manufacturer in South Africa. We're not talking about that. We're actually talking about fake cigarettes.
Yeah, look, there are names. There are particular names like your Yewo, Shasha, Yes.
Those obviously, you know, would give you a particular, you know, a knowledge or give you an acceptance that, you know what, these are the jigger ones and they come from an entity that might not be, you know, in a formal system. That's fine. But in COVID, I realized that there are differentiation between, for example, an illegal box of Marlboro Blue Ice that looks exactly the same as a legal box of Marlboro Blue Ice with just a few distinctive differences, but you wouldn't even pick them up if you were a smoker. And they make themselves into the market as well, whereby they are sold as the real thing.
Yes, indeed. I mean, with illicit, they are not even afraid or on trademarks infringement. There are those that look very identical with the normal cigarette, but how they taste, I wouldn't know because I don't smoke. But
a smoker once told me that there is a differentiation to be made. They can absolutely tell because obviously I think the what was told to me was that the tobacco was hard, you know, when it was from the illicit, you know, the tobacco hadn't been processed and the processes hadn't happened to the extent whereby, you know, the proper one happens and a connoisseur in cigarettes would be able to tell you that. But the box and the cigarette itself,
very, very identical.
To the extent that the branding is identical.
Yes. No, they are. So I guess it's like with the KFC, the original manufacturer knows the best recipe. Mm. So, but what I'm saying, the infringement is there. And there are those that are very identical, and there are those that are common and commonly known that this is a fake cigarette. And then that's how they trade these people.
So what's to be done, Calvin, around issues of, you mentioned those brands that are obviously just, you know, known to be illicit. And what were those brands again?
You know, your Shasha, your Yebo, there's some Manhattan, you know, there's different brands. Yeah.
So what needs to be done? I mean, they do manufacture cigarettes, and there's obviously a warehouse that manufactures them. Is it just an element of they enter the trade space without having to pay taxes? So obviously they are produced not to be functional in the system, whereby they don't end up on proper shop floors. They are produced to, in essence, avoid tax being paid.
Yes, indeed, they avoid tax being paid, and that's why they come at a cheap price, and then the market becomes so big. Mm. Now, the time of the COVID, when cigarettes, because these people, they know the risk, and they are used to smuggling. Mm. So they were the biggest traders around the COVID, the time when the minister, Nkosazana, you know, stopped and on the regulation of smoking. But because they are used to smuggling cigarettes, and they were doing it even during COVID, because to them it was like a normal business.
Mm.
Because they do this, they hide, but they are also protected.
Mm.
So I think what needs to be done, SARS needs to look into the policy of this bonded warehouse to make sure that even when a warehouse is raided and they say, no, these cigarettes are for transit, they must actually come constantly and monitor if they are already transited or they are actually in transit. Not for a person to have a certificate to say, no, I'm on a bonded warehouse. Then the next thing, those cigarettes are distributed all over here in South Africa. But also, with the police, they need to now start stopping all these blue cars on the road that are escorting trucks and check what is the regulation of them escorting this particular truck. There's a lot of trucks that are escorted from this particular borders, like your Big Bridge. They have this particular illicit cigarettes, and perhaps we can minimize this particular crime. But also, because there's big fishes in this particular game, those who are known, they need to activate the Hawks unit on a Poker Act. Follow the money also, because they are making big money. It's a big industry. You know, one cannot actually divorce it too far from smuggling of cocaine and other drugs. They work similarly. The risk is also the same. But what I'm saying is, they need to activate this Poker Act and organized crime and assets forfeiture. You need to go after the big fishes.
Kelvin, let me go to Tapelo. Tapelo in Krugersdorp? Tapelo?
Good evening, Danzel. How are you?
I'm good, Tapelo. How are you, bro?
I'm good, bro.
Shoot, man.
You know, I've been listening to you about this illegal cigarette and illicit cigarette.
Yeah.
There is only one big problem in this country that we South Africans are not aware of.
Sure.
The main problem is this leadership of ours, this ANC. These are the big groups.
If
we can eliminate these people, we can remove this ANC from the leadership of this country, we will have a nice country. Everything, even a Coca-Cola, even a cold drink, Denver, even a cold drink, even Hong Kong, you can't even taste, you know, to feel the taste of that cold drink. Now it's a cigarette. Now they bought drugs. And the people who are doing this, most of them are not coming to this country. I don't know what's wrong with this government of ours. South Africans, I think this is the right time to say enough is enough with this government of ANC. Enough is enough. Now is the problem of Eskom, coal, water. It's because of the government of ANC. Because of this ANC. You know, I'm so furious. I'm so frustrated. I'm asking myself questions day in, day out. What will happen with our offspring? Bana Baron, our offspring. When we are facing these challenges now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, South Africa will be doomed. We'll be doomed then. I don't want to lie. Last time I was listening to you, speaking to Sifundi in Randfontein. I mean, a pure South African don't have electricity, but both is something. Those people or wherever they are staying. They have the privilege, they don't care. People are suffering. South Africans, we are dying. Let us stop. Let us change and say, enough is enough. You don't care whatever it is. Let us stop this thing, because for us to be in a correct manner, for us to live a nice life in South Africa, when we say the ANC government must step down with the vote of no confidence, if they can give us that right to say, South Africans, what are you saying? We say to ANC, with the vote of no confidence, we no longer want you anymore. But I think, come next year, Denzel, come next year, you will see, this country will be up and down. It will be up and down. This president, whatever he can do, promise what, it is the end. This is the end.
Tapelo, can I quickly, you know, I mean, I've got a few seconds before the top of the bulletin. Can I quickly ask you something? You know, yesterday a caller called in and said, you know, here on Power 98.7, he hears a lot of people angry with the ANC and saying, come 2024, things are going to change. But in his village, in Limpopo and in Mpumalanga, people are strong, strong advocates of the ANC. It's like an ANC branch, those rural areas. Don't talk like you are talking right now. They are ANC to the core. So what do you say about that? And they do have the numbers.
You know what's the problem, Denzel? Let me tell you one thing. South Africans, man, they have one big problem that they don't understand about this thing. It's the same as you are my brother, man. You are a chairperson or you are a councillor here. I won't allow you. I won't allow these people to provoke you or to say negative things about you. While I know if they remove you, I will suffer at home. You will suffer at home because you are the breadwinner. The ANC people, look at the president. The president is from Limpopo. They will vote for him because of whatever he's doing to them, whatever the tribe, whatever the thing they are doing to them. But they forget that Limpopo is not the country. It's not the only province that leads this country. We have people from Northern Cape, Eastern Cape, whatever. But the thing is, they must be very careful. They must be very, 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 very much careful. Because one day they will cry. One day they will cry. They will say, now you voted for him. Now look what they will cry. Look at what Julius is doing. Julius is from Limpopo. People from Limpopo, when you talk about Julius Malema, they say, ah, fuck, you don't know nothing about the ANC. So what you say that? Yeah, you don't know nothing about Julius Malema. But one day, Denzel, one day, these people will cry. I don't want to let you. They will cry. All of these people who
are voting
for this
alliance,
they will cry.
Tapelo, let's leave it there, Chief. Thank you. Tapelo, good evening to you, Tapelo in Krugersdorp. I wanted us just to listen to Tapelo and hear the emotion in that particular voice. We're dealing with, of course, illicit cigarettes and what's going on in that particular space. Yes. Okay. Calvin Rafadi. Let's finish the conversation. It's going to continue. Illicit cigarettes are going to continue. Fake cigarettes are going to continue. It's a massive, massive trade, as you did particularly say. And so, you know, it's not the last of it, right?
Yes, indeed, it's not. But just also to have an input on what Mr. Figile just said. Look, I'm not into any ANC faction or even the ANC itself, but what I can say is I think the man wanted to take the glory and say, under my regime or under my tenure as a Secretary General, I will not tolerate such anarchy or any crime. I think maybe that's the phrase, you know, knowing Figile very well, it could have been like he wanted to say, under his tenure.
Yeah, you know, Calvin, and the argument I always bring up, Calvin, in that particular space is that you didn't start the job tomorrow. You didn't start the job yesterday. You've been in the organization. You've been around. You've been a senior member. You've been a minister. You've been in various, you know, spaces around the ANC. Amongst others, you know of all of these things. The good thing about Fikile Mbalula is probably when he went to the NEC and he said, you know, I'm being hired by the Guptas. Guys, what's going on? I'm being hired by the Guptas. But everything else that's happened within the ANC in those particular ranks around the post office, around SOEs, around, you know, ESCOM and all of these other things, criminality has been happening. Assassinations have been happening. We've never heard them talk out about those specific things. So, So the problem for that I particularly have around some of these statements, Calvin, is that this terminology of when I start in my position and then I'm only accountable. No, you've been accountable since you started being a member of the ANC on day one. When you took out the membership of that particular organization, you needed to talk to some of the rights and some of the wrongs of that particular organization as well. It was your duty, because ultimately you had a responsibility to the people of this country, which are South Africans who paid taxes, who put the ANC in place. And so you had an obligation and a responsibility to the South Africans to say when things were going wrong. Whether you started in your SG position yesterday doesn't really matter.
Yes, no, indeed. I think our leaders, they need to study leadership and management. But to be a leader also, you are born to be a leader. There are people that fix so many problems in South Africa without even being in position. Mm. So there I agree with you that the leadership starts, you know, volunteering and taking part and fixing the country before you can even be in any position.
Calvin. Calvin, I said illicit cigarettes and illicit trade in cigarettes and the trade in tobacco is not going to end tomorrow, isn't it?
No, it's not, definitely not. It has been ongoing for quite a number of years.
Mm. Calvin, I'm going to end the conversation there, Calvin. And I'm going to thank you and say thank you so much for coming on board again. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Sure.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.